Hello, everyone, and welcome to part two of the 2020 debate series on Datto in the vendor community. And we are joined by two, I would love to call them dear friends, but, you know, after a night like tonight, if you have not gone back and listened to part one, you need to make it to the end where I thought there was, I was going to see foam coming out the mouths and hair plugs coming out and all sorts of things. But ladies and gentlemen, Podnuts Pro is a tech community driven show. It is a show for technicians, for computer repair shops, managed service providers, men in their vans, anybody providing business technical support. And we talk with other technicians, other business owners, vendors in the community, doing everything we can to make your business better, smarter, and faster in supporting your business clients. I'm joined for part two by Stan Lusant and Chad Kempt. And gentlemen, everybody have fun since the last show?
100%. I've come down a little bit. So.
I riled myself up more. I went and, you know, got it all in the mirror. I was getting, you know.
Did you go get some ice cream and calm down and get into the happy place and all of that?
I was going to do that, but then there wasn't any ice cream. So kind of, you know.
I did have ice cream and apple pie earlier.
So. All right. So let's just do a quick recap. So on the first part of the show, we started with what I thought was going to be a very interesting discussion where I just simply brought up the subject of Datto going public and what that meant and just was basically meant to be a news story, and it turned into a whole out discussion. Now, I did kind of prep my guests with the idea that I was toying with the idea of possibly moving away from Datto. I use Datto for their BDR appliances, and I just switched over some of my lower-end clients where I had open mesh Wi-Fi devices, and I moved them into the Datto networking portal. I've not moved anything else over there. I have been with SolarWinds for many years, so I've not moved into their RMM PSA product, although they have called and asked me to consider that. But I'm looking at a couple of situations where some of the higher-end Datto appliances, I'm looking at some possible alternatives to consider for some of my clients. And for most of the backup products, if they can't be on a Datto, I have backup inside of my SolarWinds panel that will give them the cloud backup with a local speed vault if we need to. So I'm not worried about those things. For most of my customers that have a lower-end server where an Alto will suffice, it makes no sense for me to move. So I'm not really considering it from that standpoint. The Datto appliances have been great. The backup solution has been great. However, for the higher end Cirrus where we have terabytes of data, it might be something to look at, because here's where I was going to get at to talk to you guys about. So I've got customers who, when their term is up, and I've got several that I did 3-year terms with, and they offer the upgrade to a new appliance, has worked out great, because for the most part, the credit that they get usually gets them an almost free new appliance where we upgrade to a larger appliance, more storage. However, the storage price has doubled in a lot of cases, so the customers kind of shake their heads at that. But the higher-end law firms that need their data protected, they understand that with better backups comes a higher price. I've got some clients that are looking at it with, well, we've heard that we can get similar, not necessarily the same, but as much as what they need for a lot less price. So I've been looking at a couple of solutions. I've not made a switch. I've not made a determination. And I'm not going to hide the fact of who I've talked to. I've talked with Servosity, who was somebody that I interviewed on the show for something else, and they piqued my interest. And I've talked with Axient, Those are the only two that I've actually set up an appliance and worked with to see if I like it. To be honest, I still like Datto better. But these are things to look at, and I am probably going to do a whole Datto versus the world tour and go through a lot of other products and take a look at Acronis or Veeam or some of the others out there. So wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, I know you're talking about larger appliances. My largest one out there is a 120 terabyte, and that client thinks it's cheap. I have lots that are over 36 terabyte, 48 terabyte, same thing. Mm-hmm. Those clients think it's a good value. Compared to stuff in the space, I think a big problem we run into is what's in the space.
Okay.
So you were mentioning, looking at comparable things. You use SonicWall still, right? I believe.
Yes. Marvin? Yes. SonicWall.
So do you know that you could get a Linksys router with Trend Micro's internet security built into it, and you could do web filtering right on a Linksys? $150.
If you want to call it that.
Well, I'm just saying, well, see, and that's how I feel about a lot of the backup solutions. My point is that, it's similar, right? It routes traffic. It inspects, does web page blocking, it does these things, but it's not really the same. The big one, I'll be honest with you, Veeam is the number one competitor I come up against when I'm dealing with Datto in the larger space. And the argument is really simple. And when I talk to other MSPs, I tell them the same thing. With Datto, again, usually I'm talking about scalability because we usually larger MSPs, but I tell them that, my office manager does file restores. You can have all your level one techs deal with this stuff. It's super simple. When you're dealing with Veeam, you need guys like Stan and, guys like Marvin to be able to manage it, and it doesn't scale well. You need, just for basic tasks, you need technical people. That said, the solution's great and works well. It also doesn't scale down well. You need to have proper virtual environments for Veeam. They do have before somebody, writes me some hate mail and tells me they do have a physical agent and everything, I don't think we're going to make the argument that you get the same experience on a Veeam physical agent that you do on a Veeam, virtual thing with your application proxies and everything like that. It's a cost. There's a human capital cost, and Datto eliminates a lot of that. And I know Stan's point was about the support side, but unless somebody can prove to me that, Veeam is going to do the same amount or more, and I don't believe they will, then I'm going to maintain that, that support is there. It's flat rate. When we look at Unitrends, and this is going back about 6 to 12 months. So if they changed in the last 6 to 12 months, please don't roast me for this, but you had to buy all your stuff a la carte, and they position it as a flexible offering and you only need to buy what you need. And I understand that, but it makes it a lot more difficult to spec out and sell these solutions when I got to figure out how much compute time I'm going to need in the cloud and how much, what I'm going to need on the device and how much it was with Datto, it's X and Y and that's it, done. I hear this complaint about Azure a lot. Azure is a great platform, but it's confusing as heck to try and figure out how to price something out. And, there's a lot of other alternatives that are a lot simpler and easier to price out. I do not believe for one second that Azure is the Datto of the, infrastructure as a service cloud. I believe that Datto is more, or sorry, that Azure is more of a Veeam, if you will. It's a, great solution, very complex, build it yourself.
But you love Azure, don't you?
I do like Azure, but that's only because I haven't seen any Datto. Okay, so here's the thing. I don't trust a lot of the small shops to stick around, and it terrifies me, frankly, to consider putting my client's data somewhere where I don't know if it's going to be there next year. We've seen a bunch of these things with the midnight notices saying, get your crap out of our data center. Datto, I trust to be there. Microsoft, I trust to be there. I use cab.io for a bit, and theirs is a lot different, but I don't want to go off on a tangent with that. But my point with the backup vendors is that, yeah, there are other ones that work well, but I don't think the ones that are less expensive and similar are at the same level. But they do deliver a service. I know lots of people who are happy with what was the one Axion has? What was it called before that? Replibit.
Yeah, and it's now called Recover 360 or something like that. But it's still the same product.
I know some people that are happy with that, but my understanding is it takes a lot more work to manage that than it does to manage Datto, and the support's not quite at the same level. But that's not personal experience. That's secondhand.
You talked about scale. So, I mean, you know, usually you had some clients at 120 terabytes, right? Mm-hmm. You know, isn't the situation that when you start to get over that and start to get to petabytes, you know, you start looking at, you know, your Dell EMC stuff, your Exagrid and your HP Store One and all that. I mean, it's just a whole different space. I mean, I don't know how many people, and I guess you can do it based on body count. You know, would you consider 120 terabytes to be small business, right? Because, I mean, it's safe to say that data plays in small business space.
Right? So we found opportunity, though, like that particular client's around, I think, 1,100 users. And that particular client, the thing they like about it is they have a three-par SAN. I think that's right up your alley, right? All flash. I think they spent over $1 million on it. And they can replicate to an additional one, and they can do that. But they said they like the idea of having not all their eggs in one basket. So they back up to the Datto and they're on the infinite cloud and they're currently storing a couple hundred terabytes in the cloud. Like, last time I checked, I was at around 600 or so terabytes in the cloud, but that goes up fast because a lot of these guys, they just continue to scale up. They'll cut the retention low on the device and then they'll just take advantage of the cloud and they think it's cheap. You know what a second three-par SAN with licensing would be? Whew, a lot more than that Datto with infinite cloud per year.
Let me ask you this question. And sorry, Marv, I'm going to jump in on this because I'm curious, right? So you got all these big devices out there, mm-hmm. 120. I mean, the goal is that the environment never fails, right? If they had a second three-par SAN, but what happened is that they have the ability to never be down. So have you been in a situation with one of these kind of clients, 120 terabytes or some huge data that they actually had to fail over to?
Yeah, so usually it's not the whole environment. Usually with that, it's localized. So it's basically the way we've mapped out their DR plan, because these guys actually do think about DR plans. That's actually a conversation. Basically, what it is usually like a screwed up patch, you know, vendor line of business app patch blows the thing up or whatever. In some cases, they can just snapshot it, but we get all kinds of weird ones where there's physical appliances or strange stuff. So they run it off of the Datto and they virtualize it back. The DR plan is really, okay, the building burned down. We're now going to virtualize the whole thing in the Datto cloud. And then they're going to send out the Datto and then we're going to reverse round trip it all and rebuild the thing. That's the DR plan with that. But that is building has burned down. And again, Datto offers unlimited compute in the cloud. So no matter how much, you're right. You can't take this 120 terabyte device or 100, even 100 terabyte device. You can't take that and virtualize that entire environment on that device. It's just not possible. You know, it has 512 gigs of RAM and it's got two ZFS arrays and blah, blah, blah. But you're really not going to get the whole thing. So what you're going to do is you're going to, virtualize all the critical stuff. But in the cloud, there's no limit. You can virtualize the whole thing. You can replicate that whole environment. And I don't know if you guys had to test it, but they've done a lot more on the UI. So you as the MSP can actually build out a lot more of the site-to-site VPN and the client-to-site VPN without needing to engage support, which Stan likes, because then he doesn't have to talk to.
And dude, that's my thing. It's not about, I know we're getting hot and heated, but all I'm saying is there's room for improvement. And the point is, if any vendor creates a situation, and I'll give you, like I said, I'm using silly vendors, but a proof point or even Azure, as much as like where I don't have to actually interact with anybody, and I can do what I need to do absent that, that's the home run for me.
You don't fit the mold, right?
I've been doing that my whole life, so that's fine. But what I'm saying to you is if I can do that, and I'm not saying, look, support can do what they need to do, but to your point, if Datto starts to spend some more money in R&D or building up their back end to where support, like I said, for me, it's always been calling support because something that was supposed to work as intended doesn't work, right? So I'm not talking about that offshoot where it's like, wait, I didn't do what I'm supposed to do when something isn't working. I'm talking about I followed all the steps. You know, it's the same thing with people with like software RAID, right? And I don't know if that's still an issue. Like, oh, you got software RAID? Can't just restore. It's a whole big thing,
But it's but that sort of stuff is what I'm talking about standardizing on a product and understanding it really well and knowing the limitations. Like I can tell you off the top of my head all the stuff like that. I can also tell you the issues we have with different agent versions, but I can also tell you all the workarounds. And if I had like three or four different solutions, I probably wouldn't be able to keep track of all that. It's too much. So, you know, like, okay, here's the thing. I met a Datto partner once that actually couldn't install he could install an agent, but he couldn't actually add an agent to a Datto. He couldn't prep the server with the proper steps and add things. He expected Datto to do it. He expected to call Datto and have support do that. And that is the problem. The problem is that you are over, I can't see my hand. You're over here, and this other guy, you know, he's over here. You are so far from, now he's not the average Datto partner. I'm not implying that either. But you guys are both the opposite ends of the spectrum. And then there's a bunch of guys in the middle somewhere. So,
but here's the deal, Here's the deal. If that is the problem, if the scales have shifted that much that there are, I mean, granted, I know that there are a lot of people that say, look, I pay a ton of money. They should do it. Okay. I don't like that model. Now, I like for that type of model to back me up. So that if I can't do it, I can call them and say, hey, I need you to do this. Can you do this for me? And they do it. But if the scales have shifted that too many people are calling in and can't do the basic things, then there needs to be a way for people like me and Stan and you to get past that without having, you know, to run triage through level one. And without having to know the key phrase or, you know, to have the direct line to Rob Ray.
The argument on that, though, is that if you're as good as Stan, you should have enough devices to be a blue partner. And I get it. Like, you know, I don't know. That's the thing. Because once you're a blue partner, you do have a direct line. In fact, our guy, what he does is he watches our devices. And if we have a hard drive failure, he just asks us where he's shipping the drive to. And then he does it for us.
All right, so there you go, Stan. The answer is you got to be a blue partner.
Yeah, and like I said, which I already knew that's the answer, but like I said to Chad, nothing makes me want to sell more if I feel like I'm getting treated a certain way, right? So that's where my thing lies. I'm not one of these people who believes that if you get treated like crap, you just keep going back for more, right? So, no. And by the way, guys, we are literally in the same business. We're in the same business that Datto is in. So we can all relate this to our own clients and how we deal with them. And Chad, since you are the guy with the bigger shop, let me give you the example. Your client calls in. They're talking to your level one guy. Your level one guy doesn't know how to solve the problem. He or she keeps trying to solve the problem. They don't do it. The problem goes on for 2-3 days, right? Mm-hmm. Then they go, oh, then what they were supposed to know how to bypass the support at fastcomputers.com and then email your level three guy and tell your level three guy to solve their problem. Your level three guy solves their problem in 10 minutes, but the problem's been an issue for 2-3 days, right? And then Chad expects to keep this business going. When that person sits down with you with the QBR and says, dude, your level one sucks. They didn't know to escalate me to level three. Instead, they kept trying to fix it, and they didn't, right? And now we lost 2 days on it. But wait, client, you were supposed to know if our level one didn't do it to use his backdoor email it's the same thing.
That is what they do. I end up getting copied, or they basically copy their account manager, which is me. And then they go, hey man, this isn't getting fixed fast enough. My people need to work. And then we bump it to somebody else. And yeah, I have had people who won't do that. And then yeah, you lose them. And that does suck. And that is something that I know, Marvin, I know you had some people at one point, and I know Stan, you have contractors, but you generally don't employ level one contractors, I assume. And you guys, like I said, I think Marvin can probably relate a little better. It sucks. It does. It sucks when you have to put your name on something that isn't at the level you would expect it to be at. But that's part of scaling. It is.
And to your point, yes, I've had that situation where, you know, I have texts and I send them out and the customer's like, I don't want to deal with this guy. You know, can you just come out? No, I can't. You know, I can't be in multiple places at the same time. I can't work on multiple customers at the same time. In order to support the number of people, I've got to have staff. And that, you know, so yeah, I can understand where Datto's position is they probably don't have enough
engineers. The problem is, too, like when I look at my company, what I do to fix that is I try to set everyone up to not fail. So if I have a guy who's weak at networking, I don't send him to go to networking stuff. I have someone with poor social skills, I don't send him to the customer who's really sensitive about stuff. You know, but Datto, they hire more people than my entire company for one like hire for level one techs. Like they bring in 10 or 15 people in one shot. I have trouble getting one good person. I can only imagine what it's like to hire like
okay, that. But look, we're still not admitting this. You can have all the problems you want to have, but you're still trying to collect money from me for a service and deliver it. So you're trying to tell me that because they hire so many new people, or any vendor, by the way, this applies to any vendor, and by the way, this applies to us as well, right? I cannot go to my client and say, well, I mean, I know I charge you a premium, but I just hired 50 new people. And even though we tried to hire the best, maybe they're not the best. And by the way, maybe our training program can use some work, but I need you to keep paying me anyway and not go. That's what you're saying.
So on that note, so this is the thing. So you mentioned earlier backups that weren't happening for 3 weeks. Let's just say 2 weeks to make it easy. If I had backups that weren't happening for 2 weeks and it was a legit case, I would go to my partner success manager and I would say, yo, dog, I paid for a service I didn't get and I would expect a credit. And I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. And yeah, you could argue it shouldn't happen in the first place, but my whole thing with Datto, if I can get one point across for you guys about this, it's not that they don't, okay? It's not that at all. You need to. Yeah, no, I'm going there. It's not that they don't. It's how they respond when they do that I find differentiates them from the competition. And I don't mean the competition in the backup space. I mean in the channel in general. I find their willingness to accept feedback. I gave you guys the example of how they get partners involved in the training. All these things they do, if you have problems, you tell them about it. I mean, they listen. Yes, some people have a platform to get the opinion across better than others, but everybody I know who has that platform all tries to gather the feedback and the issues from others that don't in order to push it. And I've seen results. Not always what I want. Not always. But generally. And one more thing about your what you pay versus the higher tier level. Datto has taken an interesting approach. Most vendors, Fortinet included, rewards partners with bigger discounts. So what you end up with is, you know, you got a silver partner versus a platinum partner. Platinum partner's got a 10-point spread over the silver partner on standard pricing. And if that platinum partner feels like giving things away at 5 or 6 points, then they're actually going to sell it lower than distribution. You see it with SonicWall, you see it with Fortinet. Datto doesn't do that. I know they kind of changed that stance a little on the SaaS product, but they don't do that on the BCDR product. I pay the same thing as you guys. I just get some perks like some help on the support side. So I personally have always thought that was a better strategy, but if you disagree, I mean, that's perfectly, you know.
Well, you know, look, and just because we were talking about vendors, I'm just going to mention another vendor. I know somebody who spends 10 grand a month who he feels it's a lot of money with Continuum. And he feels that Continuum has gone downhill. I've never used a Continuum product. I don't know, right? And he goes, well, I'm going to start shifting my money elsewhere. And he's emailed them that. And guess what? They don't care because I've let him know that no matter what, whatever he thinks he's doing with them and how 10 grand is a lot for him and it's 120K a year, it's obviously not enough to make the vendor care. No. And that's all I'm saying is at the end of the day, and I've taken, and we talk about small shops, right? Marvin, myself versus you in terms of this call. Guess what? You know, I just grabbed an account that had two big IT firms before me because he felt that bigger was better. But now he's realized that bigger is not better because he can't ever, with all the bureaucracy that exists in a bigger company, he can't get his issues resolved and his staff is, you know, and the point is he's getting better service here and he's extremely happy and he wishes he went with me the first time. So guess all I'm saying at the end of the day is there's different ways to do things. You're right. And if my money isn't important to you, then that's fine. But now what I'm saying to you folks is Datto is now a public company. Every dollar matters in income. And if they don't come to terms with that, their public success, in my opinion, won't be what they intend it to be. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's very valid. That's very valid. You know, one thing, I mean, this is off on a tangent a little bit, but I think it's really worth noting with what you were talking about being a smaller shop. I frequent some of these Facebook groups. I'm not going to name the groups, but they're groups that are aimed for technicians and things like that. And they're open in the sense that you don't have a membership fee or anything like that. You just, they do, I hope, check that you're at least an IT company, but they don't charge you anything. And so everybody is welcome in there. All the pizza delivery guys that Marvin were talking about from CompTIA, right up to, you know, the $50 million a year firms, they're welcome to join. And what I've noticed in there is that a lot of the ones that complain about, you know, the data's calling them and the vendor's calling them, then they have other posts where they're saying, I can't get any new clients. I don't know where to find clients. And it's like, yeah, it's annoying that Datto does that, but it works and it scales you. I do agree with what you're saying though, Stan, with the public dollars. Are they going to be as freely handing out the credits in the future when they have to do it? I don't know. There's a lot of things we don't know. Are they going to, I know you mentioned earlier, you thought people were going to take a payout and take off. I believe Austin said that he gave equity to a lot of his employees early on. So there were probably people that made out pretty good when Vista got involved in the first place, and they didn't leave. At least not all of them left. And so maybe they won't leave. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a fortune teller. I mean, I guess I'm sort of privy to some info because I'm on the board, but nothing that I'm not saying anything here that I would be violating an NDA on. And honestly, there's really nothing to say at this point about that. Time will tell, I guess, is basically the bottom line. But I do agree to a point, but I also would like to point out that, you know, even with that service, sorry, I guess this is the R-rated version of the show.
Yeah, it's the after-hours show. Go ahead.
Yeah, the after-hours show. The thing is that when you scale, you know, one of my friends told me he actually just went back to being a one-man tech. I won't name who he is, but he got up to about 10 people at one point, and he said that he just couldn't do it. And what I mean by that is, or what he meant by that was, he couldn't let go. He had to let go and let things happen that he was not happy with in order to scale up and let those things happen while he focused on the bigger picture. And he said it just made him unhappy. So he's gone back to being, you know, in control of the whole situation, all services delivered at the level that he expects, as I'm sure all your services, Stan, and I'm sure all your services, Marvin. And, you know, that's the thing. Me? Yeah. I have important accounts, and then we have accounts. And then we have, I hope they stick around, but if they don't, that's unfortunate account. And that's, you know, I wouldn't have those accounts if I was a one-man guy. I couldn't service them, whatever that's worth.
So let's take this a little bit in a different direction. And I want to stay to thank Mr. Lusant and Mr. Datto for their discussion on that topic.
Wait. I do want to just say, like I said, I think this issue that we talked about applies to vendors at large.
Well, that's what I was.
Datto. We kind of use Datto as the
picking, right. That's why I wanted to shift it. I wanted to shift it because we're going through that with other vendors in the channel as well. That I mentioned earlier in part one of this podcast. If you're just joining us late, that other vendors have gone through it where they've, you know, been bought out and accumulated other companies and merged and acquisition, and all of a sudden things aren't what they used to be. And we have that issue in this channel right now, and everybody is trying to get bigger, you know, and, you know, we'll mention it. I will mention SolarWinds because I use SolarWinds, and I know a bunch of shops that literally have left SolarWinds the last time they got bought, when they went public, and when they raised their prices. And for me, with, you know, my less than 1,000 endpoints, actually, I think I'm less than 500 now, because I fired that one company. It's something where to make the change for me wasn't worth the money that I would save. And when I did the numbers, I was going to save like $80 a month because I was going to lose pieces that I would have to add on. Mm-hmm. With switching to an RMM. And I know, you know, there's a huge shift right now to switch to Synchro. You know, Synchro is, but I did that comparison, and to add back in the AV, to add back in the web protection, to add back in the cloud backup for the ones that I have that aren't on Datto, $80 a month. Didn't make sense to me to switch. And I'm happy with the performance that I'm getting out of SolarWinds. And to Stan's point about, do I have to call support? I think I've called support once in 5 years.
SolarWinds support's actually really good, by the way. I can attest to that. I will say IT Glue is a good example. IT Glue got bought by Kaseya.
Yeah.
We were, you guys know, I know you guys know, I don't know anyone listening knows, but I used Confluence for 7 years. We kind of built the wheel before there was a wheel. It was a beautiful thing. I switched to IT Glue recently because of mainly the OTP feature, and secondly, because I like being able to have a two-way sync. But the OTP feature where we can have all our 2FA stuff audited for global admin passwords for Office 365 really pushed us over. Anyway, that's not my point. My point is IT Glue was pushy with the sales before, but you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing now. I get people contacting me to buy IT Glue when I'm actually a paying customer.
Now. Yeah, I've had that.
I also get my account manager, who's a Kaseya account manager, who keeps trying to get me on the call with a VP so he can show me the 21 other products they have. And then if I say anything during the call, like I think I mentioned that I use Passport, starts going on about their Passly and how great Passly is. And I'm not saying he shouldn't do his job, but you want to talk about like aggressive, like it's everybody. And I liked it, full disclosure, I liked the channel a lot better when it was a conglomerate of small companies like Small Datto, you know, Austin's Datto, and when it was, you know, Passportal was, you know, Dan and the guys and, you know, IT Glue. I liked when it was like that, but that's just not reality. You know, we're seeing serious consolidation.
So let me ask this question. Have you guys seen more of a sales pitch since COVID hit? Or was it that way before? Because I feel like it was that way before.
It was that way before. Yeah, definitely.
But it was like doubled down now because in the last 6 months, there's been a drop. And I don't know what the percentage point is. We can ask Jay McBain at Forrester to see what the drop off is. But I'm thinking, you know, I didn't drop off. I didn't lose any.
I think less. I was getting more before. Like I found by attending the conferences and the shows in person. I think I looked like a target that was worth more time than just the guy who signs up for a webinar now. They seem to go away a little easier.
I don't know. I'm still getting calls. Now, granted, I may get those calls because I'm kind of in that in-between spot, you know, where I have enough endpoints that I'm not a, you know, trunk slammer, you know, and, you know, Oh, let's get him at the upswing of his MSP. He's going to, you know, balloon to 5,000 endpoints soon.
You use the SolarWinds RMM product, right? Not in Central. You're on the.
Yes.
Focus Logic.
Yep. SolarWinds MSP.
Remember when they put in that $50 platform fee?
Yeah.
And my rep at the time, my rep at the time, he was like, yeah, we need to get rid of some people. He just straight up said that. He's like, I got one account. He's like, he has three computers. His mom's, his sister's, and his grandma's. And he calls up and they have like a list of tickets with him opening tickets and asking for support. Like it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
I believe it.
You know,
but this is, you know what? Like, so I will say this to Marvin's point and both of you guys, right. Who are talking about like, how it used to be. Reality is that's the beauty of the world is I think that there's always new companies coming up. There's small companies all the time, right? You're going to always have that. Now, the question is, I believe this. I think the difference that we're talking about and anybody here, correct me if I'm wrong, is although that these companies were small and have scaled, we haven't necessarily, at least on this podcast, right? The three of us, haven't scaled with those companies, right? Chad, you remember, like you said, the Austin small company and the small peer groups and this and that. Well, at the end of the day, you didn't scale alongside Datto or some of these other entities, right?
I know guys who did, though.
And in my opinion, those people may have a different relationship with those companies than what we're talking about, right?
Well, let me ask this question. So, do you think there is a trend right now or some sort of thing where there is a threshold that in order to be in this industry, there is a group of people that look at companies like us and say, in order to be considered, you need to have X. And whether that is you need to be a $1 million MSP or you're considered a trunk slammer, or you're considered a man in the bank.
I think if you're under $1 million a year in revenue at this point, you're probably considered a trunk slammer.
I mean, and so
and that's not me being disrespectful to you or anybody listening. I'm just, from a vendor standpoint, I think that's probably the break even. And your acquisition, you won't, like, from what I've heard about, like, actual serious acquisition, they want more like $3 to $5 million, and then they're more talking you're a B2W being like, you know.
Okay, well, that's a fair.
I'm not going to disagree with Chad in that regard. But I'll say this, and I think we all have seen the stats. You know, once again, more MSPs are probably under $1 million than over, right?
So the stats prove that, and it doesn't mean you can't. Also, I want to be very clear here. Just because you're, you know, if your MSP does $150K a year of pretty much service project revenue, and you're feeding your family and you're living the good life, don't let me, that I said nothing to put you down. Like, you go. I'm saying that if you're out there in the, you know, with the big fish in the pond, and you're talking to vendors and stuff, who thinks that you're an actual business, an MSP, you know, an actual MSP, not one that says, you know, I'm saying that's sort of the barrier.
And, well, and
that's
okay. But number. So here's the point I was getting to. So for companies like me who are in between, and the reason I say that is because I will legitimately say that there was a point where I was $4,000 away from hitting $500K. Okay. Not, you know, that's not small money to me, but I know to a lot of people it is. And the point is I'm legitimately trying to service business clients. I have law firms, and I have, you know, it's not like I have, you know, 1,000, you know, one person shops. I mean, I've got, you know, clients with 100. I've got clients with 40. I've got servers on prem. I've got all this stuff. So in terms of where the industry is going, if they're trying to phase out the under a million MSP, where does that leave us in terms of getting
consulting
support?
Consulting. I think the problem here is, okay, and I have a bit of a pet peeve, and it drives me nuts. People say, I switched to MSPs, or they use MSP like people saying NIC card, where it's like, no, it is not a NIC card. It is a NIC. It is a network interface card, and it is a managed service provider. And a lot of people say that like they hear it's a buzzword and it's what they want to do, but they're not actually delivering. What I talked about earlier about standardizing your stack and scaling, that an MSP is built on operational efficiency. If you can't deliver operational efficiency, and that's where the scale and everything else comes in, you're not an MSP. You're a guy who charges for recurring revenue, which is totally fine. But I think that there's a huge market for consulting and for doing, you know, working with clients to you know, improve their business and working on improving their business processes. You don't need to be a MSP by industry definition for that.
Well, there was a long time where I didn't want to say I was an MSP because I'm like, I'm not. I don't want to be considered that. But I get thrown in there because I'm using MSP-like products, and it's kind of a hybrid scenario. So
Have you seen the guys calling themselves MSSPs now? And it's like, and what do you do? Oh, you install Sentinel One? You're an MSSP?
That was the guy that did the assessment at Marvin's Coin.
Yeah, that guy. Like, yeah. So we have a certified ethical hacker on staff, and we have an NSC7, which is a network security architect on the Fortinet stack, among other things. But if you want certifications, yeah, sure. But the thing is that I thought about using that designation at one point and trying to promote it. I'm like, wait a second, we operate a NOC here, not a SOC. And for everyone listening, if you're not sure the difference, let me tell you, user calls up and goes, hey, I have a problem. I need help. And Marvin, with his NOC, goes, oh, Mr. Customer, how are the kids? Let me help you. No problem. A SOC goes, you're who? What makes you think you can prove to me you're that person? I'm not sure. Prove it. And that's horrible customer service, but that's how a security operations center is going to operate. And that's not what we're doing. So we're not an MSSP. We have cybersecurity services we offer. We're not an MSSP.
All right. So back to my question. Do you think that there will be a point in time in the near future where there will be a differentiator in the channel where companies like myself, who are in between, won't be able to get services that we're getting now? Will we get turned away from the Dattos and the SolarWinds and the Continuums and
No. Because of cloud, the barrier to entry has gotten very low. So you can continue doing whatever you want. I don't think that'll be a problem. Will you get the level of service you would get if you had the volume? Will you get the pricing discount? No. But can you operate? Absolutely. Do you know anybody from 2005, 2006 that started an MSP then? I had friends writing checks for over $100,000 for Kaseya.
Yeah.
Imagine that now. Imagine someone saying, yeah, I got my new RMM. I bought 1,000 seats. I spent $105,000. People would be like, what? What are you saying? So,
yeah, no. My buddy that I had the show on a while back on my first peer group, he was an early adopter of Kaseya, and he spent a ton of money to get in. But I guess the question I was asking is, because we've talked about the Facebook groups earlier, and we talked about how, you know, there's a lot of people in there complaining, and a lot of them are, let's just say, less than 100K, who...
It's a hobby at that point, but that's fine.
I mean, and that's the thing, is where do we draw the line of saying, well, you really don't have the business model for being an IT provider. And
no, my problem with those guys, okay, and yeah, to those of you listening that are in that group, if you're not carrying proper insurance, if you're leaving your customers vulnerable and making them believe you're providing the same service as somebody who actually is offering, you know, that full, and I'm not talking about size of the company, you Stan, even you, Marvin, you know, that actually have a fleshed out service and actually answer the phone during the day because they're not at their 9 to 5. Yeah, no, you're doing a disservice. You know, I know somebody who got sued last year, and their insurance covered it, but now they're dropped. Nobody will insure them. You can't get insurance. So that's an interesting predicament to be in. But if you didn't have the insurance in the first place, I think it was close to $1 million. He would have had to come up with out of pocket. So I don't know what that would do to you.
So check this out. Just to, I want to tie something in because, of course, I couldn't help myself but look at some info on this. Like I said, I'm picking on Datto just because I have this information. So Datto says that, you know, the stats are, and this was an article on the channel E2E, right? Was that Datto services 17,000 MSPs, right? Mm-hmm. So I want you guys to think about that. Of the 17,000, only about 1,000 of those MSPs generate more than 100,000 or more in annual recurring revenue for Datto.
Yep.
So
that sounds about right.
$100,000 a year for Datto is a lot different than $100,000 a year MSP.
No. I understand, but what I'm saying is this still goes hand in hand, in my opinion, with what Marv's question was, and also your response, Chad, of the small guy or the small company, small girl, whatever, is not going away from these vendors servicing them. Because right. I do believe that we have way more small people than not, right? So like I said, so if you're saying that roughly 1,000, I mean, what's the stat on that, right? That 17,000 and what is it? 1,100, right? Divided by, say, right? That small group is what I consider maybe the bulk of their revenue. I'm sure, and it's a subset of the group that really brings in the bigger numbers, right, overall for them. But the point is that trend is probably the same across all companies. So like you said, Chad, if the barrier of entry to low, it's easy. I can go on and sign up, and then I generate some income for this company, and maybe my interaction is low with them, but they still get to bang my credit card every month. There's no reason to shy away from that. The same way you don't shy away from people that are just on your monitoring plan.
Yep, 100%. That's why they're there. They 100%. You know what? An extra couple $100 a month in revenue, in the grand scheme of things, is not going to move the needle on my P&L. But I mean, it's a couple $100 a month. I mean, and again, I mean, If I was the small guy on the panel and I was sitting with the big guys, they would tell me I'm wasting my time and ditching low revenue is going to increase my overall revenue. I understand the argument. You know, you guys know the chocolate cake theory. I'm sure I've told it to you both.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I say my bakery sells ingredients as well as chocolate cake. We bake a mean chocolate cake, but we are happy to sell you ingredients if you are a home baker and you would like to do some baking on your own. We have the finest ingredients.
So, Stan, was that a recent report? Because
it just happened. This is all part of, because Datto had to release all their financials here. I posted in the
Because I was here. I was looking at their 2019.
It was posted today, the 21st. It was posted today. Because they were talking about the IPO, but in there,
that partner count sounds right to me. That was about what it was last time I was told.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, well, this is the beauty of all this, at least in my opinion, that you know this stuff is going to predominantly become public now, and we'll kind of have more access to it, I guess, in some capacity. But you know, at least that when they do earnings calls and stuff. But the point is, like, you know, if they so what is it? Well, I mean, 100. I mean, like I said, I just think it goes to the fact that most MSPs, or, you know, like you guys said, MSP is the umbrella term. So over $8,000 a month, right? Over $8,300 a month. Only 1,000 of their MSPs do $8,300 or more per month in recurring services with them.
But that's still a high number.
But the thing is,
I'm not one of those guys.
Like, the thing is,
I don't meet the criteria. I'm just telling you, right? So,
with those numbers, though, like you know, you guys were talking earlier, just because it's not a good idea to have a bunch of different vendors doesn't mean nobody does. And as I told you, that one shop that I lost that deal to, they have tons of devices under 10 terabytes. Just they don't sell any over that. It's a lot easier, you realize, selling 48 terabyte, 60 terabyte, 120 terabyte devices to hit the numbers. You know, than if I was selling 500 gig or what are they now, 1 terabyte minimum. All I did was sell S4X1s. That was the only device I sold. Yeah, I'd have to sell quite a few to be in the club, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's $79 an agent or something, right?
Yeah, and then when you flip over to the SaaS side, same thing. I mean, I got around 5,000 seats on SaaS, but even that doesn't get you anywhere.
You have to sell 100 of them a month to be in the club, so you know. 100 Alto 3s.
I don't know.
100 Alto 3s. Well, but they're still saying that, like, look, you know, we're going with the state that there are 100, and, you know, like I said, I'm using these numbers because I think it's just good for what we're talking about. So they're saying there's 125,000 MSPs worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. And they have access now to 17,000. So that still leaves plenty of room for growth. And like you folks said, you know, what describes that MSP? Marv, just hold tight. I know Chad said it. Guys like you and me are going away. I do think that although the industry will look to consolidate, if that makes any sense, I don't think the end users care about that. And, you know, we do have the same issue of, you know, the mechanic and, like, you know, the trunk. So however you want to say it, hey, I can fix your computer. Oh, you can fix my computer? Yes. Or come fix my computer. Nobody asks a lot of questions, and they actually find out if you're great or not. Hey, you fixed my friend's computer. My friend said you're great, so you're going to come fix mine. So, you know, you're always going to have that. And people are going to go through this transition. And I know we used to talk about it with certain trade shows, that you get this influx of people that come in that feel like new people, like they're green. And, like, you know, the rest of us are kind of coaching them along and kind of teaching them the ways and kind of how to standardize and do these things. And I think that that's just going to always happen, that, you know, in our industry, reality is all you got to be able to do for a lot of small businesses is for someone else to say that you can fix a problem, or for you to tell somebody or convince them that you can fix a problem, and they'll give you a shot.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, my biggest issue with the really small guys is when they're not fixing people's stuff, not doing consulting, not doing projects. That's all great. It's when they're saying they're offering like 24/7, 365 monitoring and security and all this stuff, but they're not delivering it. I'm not saying they all don't deliver it. I'm just saying a lot of them don't deliver it, and that's a problem. And the insurance. I don't know how, if you're doing $40,000 a year in revenue, how are you paying for proper E&O, insurance, cybersecurity, like all that stuff? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, you're not, but like I said, but I think, look, I know somebody who's starting a business. I forgot what they're doing, but the whole point is that in their business, you know, they have to go through some level of regulation, and they're opting not to because they're like, well, I don't have money to do that yet, so I'm going to kind of do this on the back burner, and then when I get there, I'll get what I need. Look, but Chad, we're not going to stop that. If a client doesn't ask that person the right questions and they give them the business. And by the way, you as this business owner, if you want to take on that kind of liability, that's on you, dude. You want to lose your house? You want to lose your car? You want to lose your life savings? Then go for it.
They could. It's a matter of, you can't be a surgeon unless you're an actual surgeon. You can't practice law if you don't pass the bar. But you can take care of a cybersecurity and guarantee someone's information isn't leaking out to the web if you didn't graduate high school and you just say you're an IT guy. And I don't know. I'm not saying, like, it's not about a degree.
So are we at that conversation which has come up 100 times before, Marvin, I'm sure you're aware, right? And so are you, Chad, is, you know, what should we have as an industry standard to be in the industry? I mean, look, I don't care if you do have every level of credentials. I actually said this to somebody today. Nobody in this business can guarantee that you will not be breached.
No, that's true. That's true. Because you can't be responsible for 0 days that you're not.
Yeah, home, yeah. So it doesn't matter, dude. You can have all the credentials in the world. It's like the SonicWall SSL VPN issue, right? If SonicWall doesn't do what they're supposed to do, then what am I supposed to do? I'm just implementing the tools that I have to my disposal, right?
So here, and here's where the negligence comes in. Okay, that disclosure came out. How quickly did you fix it? If this is a side gig,
are you paying me to fix it or are you not?
And that's the thing. Like, so for our fully managed clients, that's not optional. It's all fixed. For the clients who don't or aren't fully managed, yeah, you're right. Whatever.
But well, I mean, I had a problem because I use Meraki and it updates itself. So
yeah. I wouldn't want Fortinet to do that. That would be very bad.
Yeah, it's because you don't trust your vendor. I trust
no. No, well, I'm or beta testers. We're actually alpha. They offer us the option of being alpha or beta. Those are your options. Yeah.
You're beta, all right.
All right. So before you guys run off on another tangent.
No, we're not. It's 2 hours. I got dinner in front of me. I need to eat.
So, you know. But to answer your question or your comments that you mentioned earlier, Chad, about, you know, if you're not doing X and Y, you know, some of the reasons that I've gotten my business, and I don't have a ton of clients. I've got a handful that I take really good care of. And one of the reasons that, you know what? I don't really need to grow and scale at the speed that others want me to. But a lot of them have been surprised when they've compared my service against an MSP, let's just say of your size, I'm, you know, in terms of here, because there are a lot of MSPs your size who are not doing what they should and who claim to provide 24/7 support when all they're doing is providing 24/7 monitoring, the same as I'm doing in my SolarWinds panel. And if somebody calls their office after hours, it goes to an answering service, which may or may not get to a technician, which is basically the same as me. If it goes to the voicemail, I get the voicemail and I'll decide to call back. So in a lot of ways, that's really not that difference in terms of 24/7 support, because all of my clients, I've got a key to where if their server's down at 11 p.m. and I get an alert, if I can't reboot it or do it remotely, I'm going to their office at 11 p.m. to get it up. A lot of others won't do that, no matter how big they are. They send an email, I had an MSP tell me that if a customer sends an email after hour, it won't even be looked at until the next day. But yet they claim to have 24/7 monitoring.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. We're very clear with that. Like, no, you're going to get a reply first thing in the morning. We do keep an eye on them. And like I said earlier when we were talking about that in part one of the show, if they agree to pay, yeah. But the thing is that most of the issues are inconveniencing issues and not system down issues. And, you know, to pay $600 for us to pick up the phone and go, you know, click XYZ doesn't make any sense for anybody. And just result.
Why not? But this is what I'm saying. I say this to people all the time. Chad, it is not up to you to make that decision. It's up to them to make it. See, you're thinking about what you would pay or not, or what you would be pissed off about. My thing is, if the client wants us to talk to them and, like you said, reboot it, and they understand the terms because you've set them out clear, then it doesn't matter. I'm calling you.
And I do agree. Like, so so pre-COVID, we have a couple, I try not to get bars and restaurants, but we have a couple. And we've had them call at, you know, 7 o'clock on a Friday night and be like, the main till is dead. Like, the hard drive has died. yeah, we're going to go out. They're going to get a bill for over $1,000 for us to, you know, build a, you know, rebuild the thing on site and get it running. But the amount of money they're going to lose on that weekend of not having the main till working and, you know, waitresses trying to do math on a calculator and a pad of paper during a busy weekend is insane. So yes, no, the thing is, Stan, we have those conversations before they're upset is the thing. Because when they're upset, they then agree to anything. And then I have hurt feelings on the billing side where they argue about it. So what I do is I make sure that we have an understanding what's an emergency, what's going to constitute it. And that's all agreed ahead of time. So yes, we do bill them. It does happen, just not very often. And I don't, you know, some of us would like to be on the people's court. Some of us would like to watch other people on the panel be on the people's court.
Listen.
Other people on the panel
be on the people's court. Listen, I got no problem. And by the way, in case you're wondering, I did win that case. In case you're, it wasn't on people's court, but I
was
did win.
Really disappointed. Really I did disappointed. Win.
And wait, and the best part of that was when the guy, well, first of all, I had two situations, but the one you're talking about is, and Marv, I'll share this with you. I don't know if I did. But this guy called for service. We did everything remotely. I told him what my first question is, how old is the computer? It was over 3 years old. I said, look, you're best to go replace it. Go to Apple, buy a new one, do what you need to do. He said, no, I want you to fix it. I said, this is the billing rate. I said, do you want to do it? He says, yes. We handle everything remotely. I think it took 3 or 4 hours. He gets the bill. He doesn't want to pay it. He's upset. You didn't spend this much time on my machine. We end up going to small claims court. He told the judge, this is like baking, this, he was probably doing other things and this and that. And the judge said, and he tried to use the example of a cook making a turkey. He says, well, when you're making a turkey, you're not watching it the whole time. So the judge looked at him and said, you're right. You're not watching it the whole time, but the cook is still on the clock to make sure that the kitchen doesn't burn down. And I had connection logs showing I was connected to his machine the whole time. And of course I won, and the guy came to the office, had to hand me the money in cash money. His hands were shaking the whole time, and he paid the bill. But the point is this, I told him not to do it. He wanted to do it, so he got a bill for it. He didn't want to pay the bill, so I had no problem going to the next level. I don't have any issues with enforcing any of my agreements. I have no issues enforcing what you and I agreed to. I'm very big on the principle as it comes to those things. So that's what it was. And Chad makes fun of me. And I had another client who tried to terminate an agreement that they were under early, and they had to shell out $12,000. In fact,
I joke and I fully respect Stan's, you know, opinion on that and the way he handles it. I would rather spend my time on other things. And I'm not saying that I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I'd rather just avoid it, and I'll just go make the money somewhere else. And it's good enough for me.
Yeah, but you're talking about avoiding it. What I'm saying is, this isn't a problem that I bring to my front door. People bring it to my front door. One of your data clients that's spending $120,000 a year with you, let's say, and they decide to stop paying their data bill tomorrow. And you're under, yeah, but you turn them off, but you're locked into an agreement with data. You tell me you're not going to go try to enforce your agreement.
Oh, I don't do that. That's bad. That's dumb. I don't do that. I do 1 year agreements with data at most. And then I do prepay with the customer, or I do. And then No. I don't do 3 or 5 year agreements with data. I did a long time ago. I used to do that. We have changed our risk management policy at our company. We do not do that. And we will turn them off. But I don't have a problem with that. I try to avoid it because it's not really a good way to retain a customer by taking away their backup. But if we have to, if you don't pay, why am I delivering a service that you're not paying for?
Oh, by the way, you're talking about retaining clients. By the time I get to this point, we're talking about, we're way past. This isn't about retention. This is about redemption, right?
We had a data client a long time ago with a 10 terabyte Cirrus One, and their credit card didn't go through. And I was like, what happened? And then I finally got a hold of my contact there. And he's like, oh, they locked the doors on us and canceled all the credit cards. They went bankrupt. Oh, thanks for letting me know. But I had canceled the device because full disclosure, that was before they put in the 15th.
Yeah, you got canceled by the 15th of the month. Otherwise,
yeah, but that's where your partner success manager comes in. If you have a business case, hi, my customer went bankrupt and locked out all their employees. That's a business case. That's what that is. That is a business case. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, folks. Let me settle
wrap
you guys
it up
down.
Over, Marv. Wrap it up.
Let's move on to Chad's favorite part of the podcast. We're going to switch gears and go into our Florida Man versus the World segment. And I've got a couple to choose from, but let me ask, did you guys do your homework, and do you have a story to challenge Florida Man this week?
Well, not, I mean, I did until the whole squirrel thing. And then I just gave up. I just hit delete. I shut it down. You guys are going to smuggle flying squirrels? I'm done.
And I wasn't even going to use that one as the competition, but.
That's the crazy part. I know. You don't need to. You have so many. You could do the Florida Man hourly trivia and win.
Yep.
That's how this is.
But, that was a great story. Let me pull that up real quick. Stan, are you like feverishly looking at something?
Yeah, you know, I look, but you know, we're not that exciting in New Jersey, so unfortunately, so I might have to divert to New York since it's 30 minutes away. You know, everything right now is all about, you know, everybody's focused on election stuff, unfortunately, but I am feverishly typing away. You know, that is a fact.
Well,
right now.
All right. So Chad, the story that Chad did not want to contend against is that Florida officials have charged several people in a flying squirrel trafficking operation. So far, 7 people have been arrested and charged in a elaborate organized enterprise to smuggle Florida's flying squirrels into the state and sell them. So 10,000. What?
You can't make this up. I couldn't make up a story this good.
So up to 10,000 traps were set to capture the flying squirrels. And so far they've tracked over as many as 3,600 that were shipped overseas within 3 years to be sold as exotic pets for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow. Wow. Okay. You guys won.
So that is our story. That's not even the one I was going to choose.
What was the one you're going to choose? I want to hear it.
So here we go. So the one I was going to choose is one. Let me pull this up here. This story. So I had two. Actually, you know what? Let me go back because those were old. Let me go into. Da, 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 da. Here we go. So
yeah, we're so boring.
Oh, wait a minute. These are old stories. Why are these out of order? I apologize. I may have had to go with that story, but the one I was going to bring was Florida man brings neighbor's dead body to lawyer's office.
Not guilty.
A Florida man claims he killed his neighbor in self-defense, threw the victim's body in his truck, and drove to his lawyer's office because he didn't know who else to trust.
It's attorney-client privilege right there, I think. I don't know how that story got out.
But I looked at the...
Your lawyer won't get in the car with a shovel in the middle of the night and drive to a deserted dead-end road. He's not a good lawyer.
So that was what I was going to choose. And then there was another one with a Florida man having sex with a tree and then stabbing a law enforcement. But that was an old story, too.
I don't think that one even makes the – no, I don't think that one even comes.
I mean, the best thing I came up with us is somebody was messing with the cops with a flamethrower. But, I mean, this is just – that's like every day in Florida. So it's really nothing.
We got more blockades up here and people throwing rocks at
police. So the story got – told on our local news this morning. So in Naples, which is across Alligator Alley from me, the story reported today, Florida man accused of using Kool-Aid packet to steal nearly $1,000 in Walmart purchases.
Wow.
What he was doing.
My all-time favorite is still the Wendy's drive-through alligator. That one still remains my favorite. I mean, you know, I'm not saying there's not better ones out there. It just gives me a good feeling. That's a
Not the gentleman carrying the gator into the store with him?
He's number two. He's number two. Number one, through the drive-thru. Like, yes. I mean, you know, my your own business, you know, working the, you know, can I take your order? Next thing you know, here comes a freaking alligator. Then again, it's Florida. Maybe they weren't even surprised. Maybe they weren't even surprised.
Yeah.
They were just like, hey, somebody grab this alligator, get it out of here.
Mm. Give this guy what he needs, right?
Give this guy what he needs.
All right, guys, I want to say thank you. That certainly did not go the way I had planned for the evening.
Welcome to planning things with me and Chad.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm chatting myself.
I hope it was good anyway.
Yeah, I'm not even going to write an outline next time. I'm just
turn on the outline after we finish.
Did you even read it? You probably just like,
I mean, I read it today.
Threw
like,
it in the trash.
Like when I got on.
I read it earlier and I was like, that's nice. I was like, look at Marvin trying to prepare for this. You know, I know that's how most of your things go, but you know,
most people.
I mean, this is the equivalent of us hanging out. So we're just,
that's true.
We actually, in all fairness, we have to say this to everybody. The three of us have actually never hung out in person together.
No.
We have not.
We talked to each other individually, but never as a collective.
Me and Marvin only got together once, and it was for a really brief period of time.
It was a
hot day.
It was about as much time as you could stand to be in a room of trunk slammers. That's what it was.
Yeah, I started itching. No, I'm just kidding.
Yep. And Stan was having a period of time where it was too hot to walk on the sand.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no. So I saw you twice, though. When I came down to Florida.
Yeah.
But the other time was at Chicago, right?
Yep. In Chicago. Yep.
The ADA.
Marvin missed out riding the kids slide with us.
Yeah. Chad and I rode the kids slide down in Toronto. He's like the pool has the hotel has a great pool with a slide. We're like the two grown adults in there look like two creepers.
We went through the slides,
cutting the kids online. You know, Chad and I.
We went to the pool and we're like, there's no slide here. This adult pool's no good. Where's the good stuff?
Where the kids pool. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
All right. So what you're saying is at some point we'll need a fourth to ride on a banana boat together. Is that what you're trying to say?
100%.
I can tell you this. That ain't happening. You guys can be three lonely souls on a four-man banana boat because I will not be there with you. I'll be on the side of the pool with a BB gun shooting you guys down.
Awesome.
Listen, I know, Marvin, you're the guy at Disneyland looking for the Canadians in January shooting us with water, with those water cannons while we're coming down the water ride going, one of these stupid Canadians in the.
No, I'll just be on the bench watching you walk by and complaining every bit. It's so hot. Why is it so hot in Florida?
How many degrees here? Why is it? What is with the heat?
It'll be 70 degrees. We'll be in sweaters and hoodies and you'll be in shorts. Oh, it's lovely weather today. With your pale legs.
Sunlight, what is this?
You guys, man.
All right,
guys. Ready. Thank you much. We'll sign off here. And for those of you that were able to make it through part two of this podcast, I have no idea what I'm going to name this, but I will come up with something good. I want to thank you and downloading. Oh, thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show. You have been listening to what should have been the Podnuts Pro Tech Show. And basically a debate broke out. So, we're going to have fun. And for those of you that I have spoken with at Datto, asking you to come on the show, I hope that you will still come on the show. Mm-hmm. I have been working so hard to get Datto on the podcast. Rob Ray's going to send a letter.
Rob's going to shoot me a text. I'm going to get yelled at.
So hopefully that will still happen, and I will continue my Datto versus the world conversation as we look at other contenders trying to pretend to compete with Datto for the BDR service. So Chad, Stan, thank you guys very much. We will be in contact again soon, Probably as soon as Rob texts you, Chad, and says, did that guy just call you Mr. Datto?
I have to tell him that Scully said that Rob would refer me Geek Squad people.
Yes. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for listening. And we'll be back soon with another great show and some more great tips and stories on how to run your IT business to help make your business better, stronger, and faster. Until next time, holla.